The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. We are now in the season of Lent. It's kind of an odd time in the year of the church. It's a penitential season, as many will like to focus on, where we reflect on our sin, on our own sin, and how much we have sinned against God and one another. We omit the singing of the Alleluia verse before the gospel reading. This past Wednesday, we gathered here in church on Ash Wednesday. We smeared some ashes on your forehead in the sign of a cross, and you heard the words, "From dust you came, and to dust you shall return." For some, Lent is a time of deep, deep fasting, giving up things, fasting from things like chocolate and alcohol and Facebook and cursing. And then when it's all over, when Easter comes, we shout the Alleluias, we sing the Alleluias, and we say, "Christ is risen, he is risen indeed from the dead." The Alleluias come back. The black and the purple of Lent that we see all around us go away and turn to white and gold. And then we stuff our faces with chocolate bunnies and eggs. We pop open a few bottles of wine. And everyone wishes everyone a happy Easter on Facebook while we curse the guy who cut us off in traffic on the way home from church. Is this really what this is all about? 40 days of doom and gloom. 40 days of giving up things, even with the idea that we hope somehow somebody takes notice. Maybe surely God takes notice of what I'm giving up. I don't buy it. I used to be all in, but I don't really buy it. Sure, Lent is needed for all of us. We all need a daily reminder of how much our sin affects us, the hurt and the pain that you and I have caused each other, the many curses and swearing against God because we blame him somehow for all of the garbage happening in our life or in our country. And yes, we definitely need to know the ramifications of our sin. Sin very easily means for us, we die. And death apart from the cross of Christ and his resurrection means that you and I are condemned to eternal hell. The curse of sin and death is real. It has been passed on to you and me ever since Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit in the garden and blamed each other and God for their sin. And they broke and destroyed all of the goodness of God's creation. And we have continued to stamp down all of those broken pieces into nothing but dust with the messes that we have made of our own lives. But is this really what Lent is all about? No. This is not why Lent even started to be observed in the church. The early church observed Lent But Lent was always viewed with a very heavy emphasis on baptism and your identity as a baptized child of God. In the early church, about the first 400 years of the church after Jesus' ascension, the new converts in Christianity would be taught all about the Christian faith. And there was heavy emphasis during the season of Lent about them being baptized. This teaching would lead them to be welcomed into the Christian church, and typically they would be baptized at the Easter Vigil service, the Saturday service that we're having this year, right before Easter Sunday. These early Christians would be taught that they would have new identities in Christ, that they were being changed into Christ's identity, and that they were no longer living for themselves, but rather they would be living with Christ in them and living and serving for the benefit of others. I think we miss a lot of that today. I think we need to go back to what our ancestors always observed in Lent. We make Lent out to be what we are doing, what we are giving up, how somber and forlorn we can be because I'm not logging on to social media for 40 days. But in the reality, in the midst of all of these things that you and I try to do, you stand as the victorious, baptized children of God. You are holy. You are different than the world. And there is a hope that resides in you that you have the life of God in you. You have eternal salvation given to you no matter what we face, and it is all because of what Christ has done for us. We heard about that today in our gospel reading, about Christ's temptation. He is sent into the wilderness, he's fasting for 40 days and nights, and he was all alone. This is not just fasting during the day and then going to the Golden Corral at supper time. This is not eating for 40 days and 40 nights. He is tempted by the devil. And the devil shows him stones that he wishes to have him turn into bread. He shows him the high point of the pinnacle of the temple and says, go ahead and throw yourself down. He shows him everything in the world and says, as long as you bend a knee to me, everything is yours. Feed yourself, Jesus, because you're hungry. You can turn stones into bread. Jump off the pinnacle, Jesus, because God will surely rescue you. Simply bow down and kneel before me, and I will give you all the power, all the glory, and all of the stuff. But it's more than that. The devil twists Scripture in his temptation of Jesus. And Jesus simply counterattacks the devil with the only thing that can dispel the devil, Holy Scripture. A week from this Wednesday, we are starting a study of a new book called Afraid, Spiritual and Demonic Activity in American Spirituality. This stuff is very real today, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. If you'd like to sign up for the book or sign up for the class, if you'd like to purchase the book, you can find it on Amazon. It's by Dr. Robert Bennett. But it's all going to be focusing in on how the devil is at work today in our society. It's not spooky. There are some things that are a little hair-raising, but it's not something to give you restless nights. It is to point you to how your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ fights for you against the devil. Jesus today uses the living, active Word of God because He is the living, active Word of God made flesh. He doesn't call down a great army. He doesn't pull out a flaming sword and decapitate the devil. He doesn't handcuff the devil. He speaks His Word. He speaks the living and active Word in which one little word can fell the devil, as we just sang. It can make him flee. It's nice. It sounds like something that can empower you and me and that we should be in the Word. And we should. But that's not even what Lent is all about as well. So these next 40 days, or a little less than 40 days, how can Lent be beneficial for you and for me? It can only be beneficial If we stop making it about ourselves and what we are doing and place all of the emphasis back on Christ. Lent is about reminding us that though the devil and all the world would throw all kinds of temptation, evil, and sin at us, and although we falter and go like rabid dogs after him in these sins, there is Jesus. He stands. He stands where Adam and Eve fell. He stands for you, where you and I have fallen so many times. He stands and he is still standing for you today in his victory over the devil, in his perfect resisting of all temptation. We now too are given the credit for what he has done. You too now stand. You too are given the victory. For as Paul says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." Jesus is more than just some sort of example, some moralistic, therapeutic guru to try to teach you how to live a better life. He is your Savior. He is your captain, the one who goes before you to prepare a place for you, but then also guides you on the way. He is in the wilderness being tempted for you in your place. He is there doing what you and I cannot do, resisting and destroying the devil, crushing his head. He was tempted in every way and yet without sin. But he who knew no sin became your sin and my sin, that you might become the righteousness of God. And this, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is a great and wonderful comfort that Jesus was not just showing us how to defeat the devil, but that he has done it for you. And in Christ, and by faith in him and his promises, you have the victory that overcomes the world. Jesus takes us back to paradise in the wilderness for you. By his obedience, you are now declared and made righteousness. And so in the midst of all of these things that we face, God grant us that Jesus' temptation in the wilderness would encourage us in our fight against temptation, and more that Jesus' victory over the devil would give us comfort and peace, that we by faith would be sure that the Lord has overcome the devil for you. This was all given to you in your baptism. It's something that you live out day by day as a beloved child of God in this journey and pilgrimage called life. And so in this Lenten season, I encourage you to examine yourselves, your life, your death, your sins, and your temptations, and throw them all into that big, giant baptismal font, where they can be destroyed and drowned, and you can be renewed and made whole each and every day. You are on a journey called life. It's full of joys and sorrows, and the devil is there as a roaring lion seeking to devour you with all manners of sin and temptation. But you are baptized. You have the champion by your side, who has defeated sin, death, and the devil, no matter how hard he tries to press against you, no matter how many times you give into the temptations and fall, you have the Son of God, willing to forgive, willing to renew, and most of all, who tells you that he has won the victory in your stead. And so God grant us a blessed Lenten season, where we focus on our need for repentance, where we see that it's not about us, it is all about Jesus, who claims you as his own baptized children. Jesus, who will walk out 40 days from now out of that empty tomb in order to promise that on the last day you will do the same. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen.